You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman, here with my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me today.
I am excited to have you because we are dealing with an interesting topic. It may be dry to some people, but there are going to be a lot of people that I think they're going to glean a lot of information from this because we're getting ready to talk about the five phases to streamlining your finances.
And streamlining, not streaming, but streamlining.
Streamlining your finances.
Okay.
I should say it again.
Streaming is a little
the
different.
The five phases of streamlining your finances.
Right.
Not streaking your finances. Well, and let me preface this, too, by saying that I've had times, there's a point in my life where it would take me at least 8 hours in the month to do my bills. I mean, I had a pretty complicated financial life at one point.
Yeah.
Now it takes me, I'd say on average, about 30 minutes. Sometimes as little as 15 minutes, sometimes as much as an hour, but about 30 minutes per month is all I spend on it. And
that's
I consider that to be a pretty, that's a pretty reasonable amount of time. Because we don't necessarily have the simplest financial lives. We have a lot going on out there.
Yeah, we do. Well, you know, paying bills and just keeping up with all that is just, it takes a lot of time, or let's say organization of the mind. Because as we get older, I can't remember what I had for breakfast, so much less when a bill is due. So
right. Well, and we know that if you don't cover those details, it's there's a big price to pay for not covering the details in your life.
Right. Well, what are some of the requirements you use? I guess let's start with just you.
Well, some of my requirements. Okay, so I've always subscribed to David Allen wrote a book called Getting Things Done, and you'll see the GTD logo on all kinds of different productivity tools
getting
out there.
Getting Things Done.
Yeah,
GTD.
Getting Things Done is he has a methodology, and it's really about the art of stress-free productivity. And when you deal with stress-free productivity, what it is it's that a lot of our stress actually comes from the fact that we're keeping all the stuff in our head. Okay, it's like a mental RAM. If you compare your brain to a computer, that a computer has its long-term memory that's similar to the long-term memory in our brains, and it has its short-term memory. And so stuff that's on your mind right now is like the RAM in a computer. Well, there's only so much RAM that you can hold, and if you can get stuff out of your brain into a system, then life gets much better. So a couple of the other things that are requirements of mine, number one is it needs to be mobile. Okay, I need to be able to pay bills in the run if I need to. Number two is it has to be really simple. Okay, I don't want to overcomplicate it. Number three is that I can't keep anything in my head. Okay, I don't want to count on my memory. Number four is it has to cover for me when I'm either being lazy or I'm just busy or flaking out. The system has to cover for me. Okay, number five is my credit has to stay perfect. Really, really important to me. And number six is I can't pay late fees or have any kind of disconnects because that'll just drive me absolutely bonkers if I waste money on something like that. I deal with a lot of doctors out there who make plenty of money, but they're constantly getting their electricity shut off or something just because they don't take the time to mess with anything on their personal life.
Well, their schedules are pretty busy.
Their schedules are busy, but with some of these methods that I'm going to talk about, they can do it too.
Okay, let's hear it. So phase one, we have titled collect.
Right, so phase one is collect. When we're talking about the five phases to streamlining your finances. And what I mean by collect is this is where do you collect all the stuff coming into your life? Okay, how are you going to collect it?
On the counter,
right.
On the dresser.
It could be an inbox. and for me, there's two main places. So I have one folder that's labeled finances, or it could be labeled bills. It could be a bills folder, and I just carry it in my computer bag. So it goes home with me. It comes to work with me. It's basically wherever I am. I have it, and every time a bill comes in, I throw it in the file. Pretty complicated, right?
It sounds very hard.
if it's something that's a paperless bill where I just get an email, then I have a folder just titled bills, and I just move the electronic statement or I move that email into the bills folder. So it's there.
Okay.
So I've collected them.
So you've collected it. You've put them, I guess, in a system of sorts.
It's a system because I'm not the type to pay my bills every single time I get the bill in.
Okay.
Okay. I only want to pay the bills once per month.
I don't know too many people that do that every day, but yeah.
I know. Well, I know people that will pay them as soon as the bill comes in.
Yeah.
But it's just not efficient to do it that way. So okay. I collect it first. That's phase okay. one.
So phase two is called the process.
It's process.
Our process.
Right.
Process.
It's to process the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. With each item, you have to ask yourself, you know, each item comes into your world, you have to ask yourself, what is it? Okay. Is it actionable? Okay. If it's actionable, then you have to put it into your system to you don't have to act on it right then. Okay. But you have to have it into a system where you can take action on it. If it's not actionable, then you have to ask yourself, what are you going to do with it? Okay, you're going to eliminate it by throwing it in the trash. You're going to incubate it for possible later action, or you're going to save it for reference in some sort of filing system, either paper filing system or an online filing system. So that's what I'm doing when I'm processing. So how does this apply to the bills? Well, I want to pay bills once per month. So when I sit down once per month to pay them, okay, and this can, you know, once per month can depend on how tight your finances are could dictate you have to pay more attention to it than this. If your bills are really tight where you're like you're watching every dollar to make sure you're never being overdrawn, then you have to watch your money a little closer. And also sometimes when people get paid every 2 weeks and they want to pay bills on that 2-week cycle, and that's fine, but I think you pay them as seldom as possible. Okay. So after I process the stuff,
Phase three is organize.
Right. So I have to start to organize this material into a format that, you know, that now I can start to do something about it, because phase four is review. Okay. I have to actually sit there and review the material closely enough. And this is where I think with finances, it kind of starts with a budget. Okay. And I think I like a budget on a spreadsheet. But the problem with the budget on a spreadsheet is that, you know, that may have like yearly, you know, once a year bills, like say your homeowners association fees that I divide into 12 months. So it's on my budget on a monthly basis, but I'm not paying it every single month. Okay. So I have a separate tab on the spreadsheet that basically gives me a list of all the bills that are due. Okay. And it's different than the budget, you know, because this is stuff that's due every single month. And the purpose of that part of the spreadsheet is it shows all the bills that are due and gives me a quick snapshot of all of them. And I have one tab for each month of the year. So after I pay the bills for that month, I'll copy that tab over to the next month so I can see where it was. Because let's say I paid off some debt, now it's gone from there. So what do I put on that spreadsheet? Well, I basically just want to know what's the name of the bill, what's the due date, is there a grace period on how long I have to pay it past the due date, because like a credit card, if you're one day late, they kill you with a $35 late fee.
Right.
And then I have how is it paid, because I want to know, is it paid by an ACH or an auto bill pay, or am I just paying it through my online bill pay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Then it moves into phase five. Okay. Phase five is the due. Okay. Phase five is the due is basically when you take action and when you actually go in and pay the bills. And Tammy, do you probably see a lot of people that still mail their bills out, right?
My mom actually mails her bills out. She pretty much does not trust the internet to go online and pay a bill. And I can respect that in some ways. But for me, I personally, when I was managing the bills, I like to have everything auto paid or that I could pay online.
Right. And I agree with you. I'm definitely a fan of, I'm a bigger fan of using the online bill pay from your bank, okay, where I can control it and have as much stuff set on auto pay as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for instance, if you have a car payment, it frequently will say, okay, you're going to have 60 months with $365 a month or 59 months at that. And then the 60th month is going to be a lesser amount. Well, you can go in there and set that whole thing up, including that last payment that's going to be some odd payment, and you know, have the whole thing paid for you as long as you keep enough money in the account. That's part of the due. And to me, that's a big step of the simplification, is that you basically having all that set up so that as much is paid automatically as possible. Mm-hmm. Out of all of our monthly bills, there's quite a few of them on our list. I think we only have two that I have to actually go in and pay on a monthly basis.
That's really good. I mean, what this does is it really helps you keep up kind of subconsciously. You're not even really having to be real super conscious as far as the action goes, because if it's set up on auto pay, you're keeping up with your credit. The only job you really have to do is put that money in the bank.
Right. And here's a couple other things I do. So like with credit cards, for instance, mm-hmm. I do have the credit card set up so that it will do an ACH of the minimum payment to come out of the account. Now, typically, mm-hmm. we don't carry any credit card balances, but if we did, it's going to automatically take that out of our account, at least the minimum payment. Now, mm-hmm. I can go in there and pay off the full balance,
mm-hmm.
okay? But if I don't, if I'm busy, if I'm lazy, if I'm flaky, like I said earlier, it's at least going to...
It'll take that out. Prevent it from the late fee happening.
Right. $35 exactly. late fee doesn't happen right. in that case.
Right.
So use the online bill pay. Use the ACH, which is the automatic clearinghouse, or it's the electronic funds transfer, typically when somebody's deducting the bill directly from your account.
Mm-hmm.
So coming up, we are going to be covering part two of getting your financial life very simple and keeping it that way. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman. We are broadcasting from the Cornerstone Mortgage Studios at FM News Talk 97.1. I want to welcome back my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me back. And if you guys want to check us out, we have all this information online at our website at
SmartWithYourMoney.com, and check out our blog post on this. You'll see the actionable steps
that we personally use to simplify our finances.
Right, we do. And I think they're really good. It does help keep everything really organized and like you said, simple. So
when and we're always talking about, you know, being smart with your money on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these steps are actually not just about finances. It's about how to simplify your life and how to handle the workflow that we all have in life, the workflow,
right.
personally, the workflow, just the amount of mail that we get and the amount of stuff that
right.
has to get dealt with,
right.
You better have a system for it.
Well, when you and I, started our relationship, you kind of left it open. Did I want to take care of bills or did you want to take care of bills? And for one person to have that burden to take care of it all the time can be very daunting, especially if there's no organization. If both parties aren't on board at how finances should be or how they should be organized or any of that kind of stuff. So,
well, and it's funny because you're a bookkeeper for a living. You're you're a QuickBooks expert. But you wanted me to be the one to pay the bills.
I did. I do it all day long.
Yeah,
so
you do it all day
break,
long. But you also had enough confidence that you knew that I'd take care of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's jump into this then.
Right. Okay. So we're talking about getting your financial life simple and how to keep it that way. So the first question I have for you, Doug, do you have any simple steps just that people can follow?
All right, so a couple simple steps. One is consolidate your spending onto one or two cards.
And we're talking about credit cards, I guess.
Well, yeah. So always use, yes, number two on the list here is always use a credit card that's linked to your bank account to avoid having credit card debt. So I would say use a debit card, but when you're actually at the store, I don't want you to use it as a debit card. I want you to use it as as credit instead
and
of putting in a PIN
number.
And
let's talk about the why on that because of what's recently been happening to people.
Right. So the reason for that is that if you use that debit card, if instead of putting in your PIN number, if you actually hit change payment and use it as a credit card, then it's insured by MasterCard or Visa. If you don't do that, then it's not insured. So if there's any type of fraud on there, it is not an insured transaction. So if somebody ends up using that number or that information and steals money out of your bank, they won't cover that.
Right. I mean, some banks have some policies, so you may have to really check into that. But for the most part, you're a little safer to run it as a credit card, as you said.
Right.
So
so here's some other things that I do. I think that I'm amazed how few people have a really good system for saving their websites and their favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Whether they use Internet Explorer or Chrome or whatever it is. Okay, so I use a folder system in the favorites. So I have a folder called Banking and Bills. Mm-hmm. Has the bank accounts, has credit cards, it has, you know, the links for all that
insurance,
stuff.
Right. Whatever.
It's all in the favorites under Banking and Bills. So that's one that's pretty important. Next is have an efficient method to store your usernames, passwords, and websites. Okay. Really, really important. And here's the method I use that I find to be very simple is I use Notes in Outlook. Okay. In most, there's notes in Gmail. There's notes in many of them, but these notes will also sync with my phone. Okay. So I have access to it everywhere. And I have a category that I call passwords. And then I use a category view in Notes.
Okay.
So
you're giving somebody out there a lot of information.
They'll know right where to look, but they have to get through my my security gauntlet to get there.
That's true.
Okay. So it is given a lot of information, but this is a real world method on how to organize this stuff is I just open up a note every time I have a new account and I'll write out what the account is, what the website link is. I go ahead and put in the note, my username and my password. And then having a system for your passwords is important too. So what I mean by that is I'll have sets of passwords that I'll use for financial stuff. I'll have some sets of passwords will end up getting shared with family. So if you have any type of passwords that get shared with family, then you can't use that password for your Netflix account or something for your bank or your other financial documents that are a lot more private. So just recognizing that and having a hierarchy of how you do your passwords is important.
What's your longest password? How many letters?
Oh, I don't even know. I haven't counted them, but probably close to 20.
Oh, gosh.
And
okay.
Probably not quite that long. Probably about 15.
Okay, because I have a 15. And it's weird because it's like how I remember it. I don't know. But
all right, well, here's another one of my simple steps to simplify your financial life is don't sign up for anything that says it's free the first month.
Oh, man.
And then you have to cancel it before
so
it starts
true,
to charge
you
the next month.
Because you just forget.
Right.
You forget. Or so, you're really good about setting reminders. I mean,
yep.
I've gotten in the habit now of
setting
that reminder.
Yeah, and I'll get into more specifics about that, too, because just avoid it if at all possible. The last thing on simplifying that is just avoid monthly debts, period. Like I'm almost allergic
okay,
to signing
Dad.
Up for anything that starts charging me on a monthly basis. I hate signing up. Yeah, I don't want gym memberships. I don't want, I don't know. I'm just allergic to that. I don't want car payments.
Well, we have some basic major ones that we have. The mortgage, which they'd come to you at Cornerstone Mortgage, and you'd help them set that up. But then you have your car and maybe a student loan or something like that. So sometimes those are the ones that you have
people
to.
People get nickel and dime, though, because do you have monitoring on your security system?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, someone just told me the other day when they're talking to me, like, well, it's just $60 a month. Well, that's $720 a year just for the monitoring portion. You know, that can go on and on and on. Do you have cable? Do you have Hulu Plus? Do you have, you know, Netflix membership?
What
do you have
would
gym
your
membership?
Advice be for people to review? Like, if they're paying bills monthly, what would be your advice if I come to your office to look at that stuff?
Well, when I sit down to do a debt strategy with somebody, okay, we only see the debt that's on the credit report.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so frequently I can't see the rest of the debt unless somebody actually brings it to me in a spreadsheet, which some people will. And what I'll help them do when I form a debt strategy is I'll help them identify what are the wants versus the needs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you're in over your head, you've got to cut some stuff out.
Right.
Okay, I know it's important to have cable, but can you cut it out?
Right.
Okay, so that's one of the things that I do, and just making sure they bring in the documents to me so I can help them get organized with that.
All right. So what are some of the specifics that you set up to handle your paperwork and emails and phone calls and everything else that goes your way, Doug?
All right. So here are just a couple of the basics that I do. So first, action items. Okay, I asked that question earlier, that is it actionable? Okay, if it's actionable, now you have to be able to process that. And the first thing I'll ask is there more than one step to it? If there's more than one step to it, then it's a project. If it's only one step, then it's just a task. If it's a project, then I ask, what is the next action on this? Okay, to get it moving forward. And these have to be able to sit somewhere. So I personally will take it, and I have a task. I use a task list in Outlook, and I'm a big Outlook fan, but there's tons of different systems people could use for this. So I'll have a task list, and I have a category. I use a category view in there again, just like the notes, but I'll have a category for action, personal, and I even have an action, personal, home. So for actions of like home projects are on there, and I have action, you know, for like work stuff, in action with several other things, depending on what it is I'm working on in life. So if I have things on that task list, then there's material that comes with it. So something comes in the mail, it's a piece of paper. What do you do with it? Well, I just have an action personal folder that the reference material goes into. And then when it's time to work on that phase of my life, I can pull out the folder. You know, I can look at the task list, see everything that's on my list, prioritize it to figure out what do I need to do at this moment. Is there a due date on it that's going to pop up as a reminder? And I can access the reference material to take care of whatever it is. I mean, there's so many things to think about with your health care plan, rebates, registering the kids for school, or the physicals they need for camp, or just a long list of stuff. So other things that I do would be like calendar reminders. Okay, you always want to put the next link in the chain. So you always think about, you have a reminder for what the next action is. So if you send somebody an email, well, what happens if they don't respond? Okay, well, do you have a reminder set to follow up with them if they don't respond to you? And that's something where calendar reminders can be good. Or how about like with rebates? You have to have the rebate turn in within 30 days, or expiration dates on certain things. Or it could be as simple as if you change the filter on your refrigerator water every 6 months, you could set a reminder for that too. Or like one of my calendars, the date that I can purge my tax information, knowing I have to keep it 3 years from the filing date. Okay, well, I have a date set that I can throw that crap out, get rid of it, delete. Yeah, so that's, you know, those are just a couple of the real actionable things I do to try to keep life simple, not keep the stuff in my head, have it go into a system where I don't have to think about it. And I help a lot of my clients set up the same type of thing so that they can not only have the lowest blended interest rate on all their debt, but they can actually keep up with it and make sure they have extremely high credit scores too. So when we return, we're actually going to be talking about the next phase of simplifying, and that is going paperless with your finances. So you're going to hear that and more when you return. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show, broadcast from the Cornerstone Mortgage Studios at FM News Talk 97.1.
You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman, here with my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me.
We are broadcasting from the Cornerstone Mortgage Studios at FM News Talk 97.1. We've been talking about the steps to simplify your financial life. And one of the big steps that I think more and more people are starting to take, but I think there's a lot of progress to be made on this, is going paperless. Okay? And when we think about going paperless, I think first, you know, I want to talk about the why. Why go paperless? And then we'll talk about the how of how do you do it, and what are some of the actionable steps to be able to take your financial life paperless? And is it going to simplify your life or not?
Yeah. I mean, I think growing up, my mom and I did it for a long time. I had a folder for each month of the year and had the receipts going in there along with the bills, and that way I could pull the month out and I had, you know, pretty soon two file cabinets full of stuff.
Right, because then once that's full of stuff, what do you do with it?
Well, and then even, you know, when the receipts from the, like, we'll say Walmart or somewhere, they start to fade and you can't see the receipts anyway. So, right. You know, your idea of scanning, which I'm not sure if you'll talk about that or not, but, you know, scanning the receipts, and man, that's genius.
Right. So that, you know, that starts to talk about the why a little bit. And, mm-hmm. You know, here's a couple simple things on the why. One is that you can save some money. A lot of times they'll give you a discount if you get paperless statements from them, they don't have
the
to actually.
Yeah. Bank statements. They're charging me, charging work because Steve wants to have them, you know, $5 a month.
Well, and it's expensive for them to print out the statements, snail mail them out to you, and somebody's got to stuff that envelope.
Right.
It could be all automated if it's done via computer. So it can actually save you money there. And the second thing is you go in green, you know, helping save the planet. Some people are going to care more about that than others, but it is – if you think about how many trees it does take for all these statements to just start filling up your drawers, and eventually something has to get done with them.
Right.
And you know, are you going to shred all of them? Are you going to burn them? What are you going to do with all those?
Right.
So next thing, number three on the list for the why is saving time.
Right.
Okay, to me, it saves a lot of time by just reducing those piles of paperwork, especially when you figure in the purge time.
What's important and what's not.
Because once your drawer is full and it looks like a, you know, a jack in the box when you open the thing, paper just pops out of there, then you've got to do something with it. You know, we already talked a little bit about the saving space, right? Yeah, because all the space in the file cabinets, PDFs are very small.
Right. Like
you can store just tons of information. Next is the safety aspect of it. Okay, because as long as you keep your virus protection up to date, it's actually, I think, safer to keep your personal information on the computer than it is on paper. There are so many thieves that will steal stuff out of your trash can from throwing that stuff away. I mean, there's, you know, people are just sloppy with those things.
Yeah, you just have to be smart about it.
Well, a lot of people don't have a shredder at home, so when they do purge their documents, they don't have anywhere to go with them. So, you know, they just end up going in the trash.
Right.
And the last thing is you feel better, okay, because...
Yeah, there's no clutter.
Yeah, clutter is exhausting. So, you know, every time paper piles up on my desk, I start feeling overwhelmed, you know,
crabby. You do get a little crabby.
I do. I need some time to get things cleared off. Clearing out just feels better.
As our household starts to move towards the paperless, I know it does create more space and more efficiency for us.
Yeah, it definitely does. So then, you know, then we have to move from why go paperless, and start talking about the how. Okay, how do we do it? And in case you just joined us, you're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1, broadcasting from the Cornerstone Mortgage Studios. So, Tammy, on the how, here's the records management system that I use. So first thing is break the habit of printing everything. Okay, and I see this in an office environment too. I mean, we're a paperless company, but people still just out of habit will print things that really aren't necessary. So just having the habit of reviewing things on the computer screen instead of having to print every single thing out. There are some times you need to print it out to mark it up and things like that. But you know, a lot of times you just have to break that habit. Next is, I think some sort of cloud storage is the way to go. Okay, and like we use Dropbox, but you know, we also use OneDrive, and I use Google Drive for different things too. Those are three of the popular cloud services. There are plenty of others out there, and people will ask some questions about the security of them. And I think the security of them, like I haven't heard of any sort of mass break-ins of that type of material. And here's why: if you're a hacker, okay, you could hack into Home Depot or Target and hack millions of people's...
There's a bigger payoff there.
Well, bigger payoff because it's millions of people's direct financial information. If you hacked... If some hacker wants to go in and hack Dropbox, okay, it's a bunch of PDFs and pictures, but it doesn't do them any good unless they can look through each one of them individually to find that needle in the haystack. Where you're vulnerable for it is from an insider. Okay, you have somebody in your life that wants to scam you, but they can do that easier with paper statements than they're going to be able to do it with your online life.
Yeah, could be. Okay. Yeah.
Here are a couple other things about the storage systems that I like is that, use Dropbox as an example, but all the other cloud services this way, is that it's on my computer, it's on the internet, it's on my mobile device. I have access to it anywhere that I am. Okay, I can see it on my tablet. I can zoom in on any one of those documents at any time, and to me, that's a big time saver. I love that because, you know, like we use OneDrive for our notes from the radio show, and you pull it up on your tablet, pull it up from the phone, PC, and you know, we're all typing collaborative notes on the same documents when we're planning out a segment.
Right, And I think schools are going to end up going more this way for kids. I think it'll start really tying into homework.
I think, yeah, I really think that it has to. I mean, schools have to start going that direction. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the last steps I think you have to do to be able to go paperless is you need a good scanner. Okay, and if you don't have a good scanner at home, most people have a scanner in their office. Mm-hmm. So I actually have two more folders in my bag. One is to home and one is to office. So if I have stuff that needs to go to my office, it goes in the to office folder. When I get to the office, I open it. And if it's scanned stuff, then I go ahead and run it through the scanner. I put a little S up in the corner so that I can look at that document and automatically know that it's already been scanned. And then I just go in and rename that and file it. One of the other areas I use this is for taxes. Okay, because when you think about, like, I can pull up tax returns for the last who knows how many years with all the supporting documents instantly, like instant access to it. I go to my assets folder and I can look at bank statements or IRAs or 401k or any of those you can have access to instantly by going paperless. So I'd love to get feedback from listeners on this. If you have any comments on this, visit our blog. You can leave comments there. Go to DougHaldeman.com. It's DougHaldeman.com. And look for the blog post on simplifying your financial life. And then we'll also have one on going paperless with your finances. Let us know what you think. You also can reach out to me personally by text at 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684, the numbers for that. So, Tammy, do you know many people that are going to probably have objections to thinking about going paperless?
I can think of a few.
And what do you think their objections would be?
I think, the couple people I have in mind, one just does not embrace technology at all, and it confuses him greatly. OneDrive, Dropbox, he'd make fun of all of those names. it's just who he is. It's just not going to happen for him. He may have to be forced to do some things like that, but I can see in his life that it's not going to go real easily. my mom, I think, is another one, and I can talk about her. She just doesn't trust. Ironically, as of my parents, they've gotten hacked into by neighbors. So it unfortunately has happened to them.
So they have real life concerns.
So they do. And it of course, it proves to be true. For them, I've never had it personally happen. I have had my identity stolen, but that's because somebody got my identity from a transaction at a store somewhere.
Right. Or from the IRS. Mm-hmm. Seems to be the biggest leak out there.
When mine happened, I had traveled and they had gotten my information through me traveling.
It's going to be interesting how the IRS can start to heal these wounds, because nobody has leaked more information than them, had more false tax returns filed.
And yeah, we had that happen in our family. We have one of our kids. We have to claim their Social Security number. So
right, but one of our 8-year-old's tax return had already been filed.
Yeah, apparently.
To claim for somebody.
So.
And that's not a fun process to go through to get it cleaned up.
No, so it is really about being smart, paying attention to your surroundings, paying attention who has access to your computer if you do go paperless. You know, like Doug said earlier, keep those passwords locked up and safe and secure. And it's not necessarily in your head, because you're going to end up forgetting those and have to reset them all the time.
Well, and keep your phone password protected is a big one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that's a really big one, is keep your phone password protected. Even just a simple four-digit password.
The kids don't know my number.
Right, and they shouldn't.
No. Somehow the grandbaby can get in there and get in it. I don't know how he does it, but,
but
he
the kids
manages
can't do it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, these were the steps to simplify your financial life, how to go paperless with your financial world and pretty much everything in your life if you want to.
I really want to encourage people to come to you, Doug, because you're great at this. Come in and do a credit consultation with you. A consultation, I mean, go over this, learn your debt strategies, and you're the guy. So at Cornerstone, how do they get a hold of you?
All right. Best way to reach me is you can text or call. My direct line is 314 472-DOUG. Again, it's 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684, the numbers for it.
Remember that becoming smart with your money is as simple as listening every Sunday at 4 p.m., subscribing to our website at smartwithyourmoney.com, or by listening to our podcast, Smart With Your Money with Doug Haldeman. See you next week.